Our Old Testament lesson today comes from Proverbs. And following along with the theme that seems to have crept into this Leadership Sunday, we also are running along as Change Sunday, it seems like. But today I will be reading from verse 1 all the way to 23 instead of the selected verses that were shown in your bulletin. Listen for the word of our Lord. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. The clever see danger and hide, but the simple go on and suffer for it. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. The cautious will keep far from them. Train children in the right way, and when old, they will not stray. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of anger will fail. Those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. Drive out a scoffer, and strife goes out. Quarreling and abuse will cease. Those who love a pure heart and are gracious in speech will have the king as a friend. The eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the faithless. The lazy person says, "There is a lion outside. I shall be killed in the streets." The mouth of a loose woman is a deep pit. He with whom the Lord is angry falls into it. Folly is bound up in the heart of a boy, but the rod of discipline drives it far away. Oppressing the poor in order to enrich oneself and giving to the rich will lead only to loss. The words of the wise, "Incline your ear and hear my words and apply your mind to my teaching, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips. So that your trust may be in the Lord, I have made them known to you today, yes, to you. Have I not written for you 30 sayings of admonition and knowledge to show you what is right and true, so that you may give a true answer to those who sent you? Do not rob the poor because they are poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord pleads their case, their cause, and despoils of life those who despoil them." Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. It has been a very busy weekend. A great seeing of a lot of referees for a long time, interfered with some football from time to time. Was very nice, and it's a great way to start off this fall. And a reading from Proverbs is kind of a strange thing, is it not? But this is Leadership Sunday, and I think there are words in this, in all of this, that hopefully will inspire you all, not just our students, but everyone, to think about this business of leading and what it's really all about. The book of Proverbs is, in some ways, a very different form and different from any other book in the Bible. And it is included in both Protestant and Catholic versions as it is. It is a long listing of wisdom sayings. And it's a long-standing tradition treated as a book that is an anthology of isolated sayings, that each one of these verses or a couple of verses along the way are different. They don't have continuing verses going, leading from A to B to C to D. They just keep getting differently, be different. Indeed, many believe that it is a collection of wisdom sayings from writers throughout the Middle East and the Sinai Peninsula. There is a long lingering belief that it was King Solomon who gathered these works from throughout the Middle East and had them included in the Hebrew holy books, that this wisdom that has come down through the ages, that God had given these voices to all different people in the area. And Solomon, in his joy to gather the wisdom of the ages, got all of that from them. If one follows this belief, it is easy to just pick and choose these passages as the lectionary often does. And there is indeed wisdom in the individual verses themselves. In fact, many people believe that the verses were originally sayings repeated by children as mothers and fathers taught them as they went about working. Being no preschool in those days, no babysitters in those days, the children would often go with their parents into the fields to garden or into the fields to stay with the sheep or whatever they were doing. The children would be there, and of course, a way to teach children is to repeat things over and over to them, and doing so in a lyric makes them remember even better. However, this week, as I read these verses, actually for the last several weeks, I thought through them about looking at these verses and seeing where the wisdom comes in. What wisdom is in these verses that not just children can use, but adults? All should be able to use them. As I read this particular passage again and again and again, I seem to have found some continuity within them, and thus you got stuck with the whole bunch of it today. Continuity, you say? Yes, I believe so. It begins with this business of wisdom. And what is wisdom? There are millions of pages on that topic. If you want to, just Google it, and you will see lots of things come up where there will be wonderful things from all over and all different races and places are all around us, all the different areas of the world, and all of them have their own little twist on what is wise and what truly is wisdom. Because wisdom, like any state of being, can mean many things. As I read and reread and looked at the scripture, as I read other people's ideas about what was going on here, I began to see that this is a bigger picture, one that helps us to understand God's idea of wisdom. Yet not, perhaps, our understanding of wisdom. I believe on this Leadership Sunday, this day we celebrate the fact that the student body is here and that they are leaders. By and large, they are already leading something on campus. So what do we learn about leadership and wisdom from these verses? It is important, I believe, that we all look at these verses from a godly point of view, not always how we think of wisdom, but rather how God thinks of wisdom. Because how we see things and how God sees things are so often different. First, an understanding of what is wisdom. In the Greek language, which is where all of these things are translated into or out of, there are many words for what we who use wisdom in doing so every day, we use wisdom as a very broad thing. Wisdom can be any kind of thing in the English language. I was wise enough to get out of bed this morning on time so that I got to work when I was supposed to. Or I was wise to keep my mouth shut when my wife told me something that I didn't really want to hear. I didn't say that. Or many other things when we think of the wise. The wisdom of the Proverbs is in the Greek, phonesis. It's a practical wisdom. If you take philosophy here, you will probably spend much more time on Sophias, which is really revolves around reasoning and epitism, the study of knowledge. You would use those things that the Greeks say are wisdom also, and they are. But here in Proverbs, we're talking about practical things. Not how many angels are on a pinhead. Not things that are hard to understand and could really go in any direction. These are things that come from God to help us be wise in God's eyes, to help us to follow along what God has made for us. Practical wisdom centers on prudence, making good choices, good decisions, and following good paths. This is the core of what Proverbs is seeking to teach us, especially, at least in Proverbs, about persons living in a larger community and how they should regard their participation in a larger community. As a matter of fact, everything in Proverbs assumes that you are studying and learning as you live into a whole community of people. All of the people, the ones who aren't really very bright, the ones who are not using wisdom, and the people who are using wisdom, but perhaps using it not the right way. These verses long for us to look at the community around you and follow these things, not just for our well-being, but for the well-being of those who are in community with us. I say that one more time. We are wise if we include our whole community and what is needed in the community before we start to do things. This is not really instinctive to us as Americans. We all got our big plot of land. We have a house, 2-car garage, maybe 4 cars in the driveway, but a 2-car garage, and a chicken in every pot. And it's all about us. What do we get? How can I get more? Not in Proverbs. Proverbs is about making your decisions not by what you can get the best out of. What can the community make the best of? When I decide something, I am supposed to be thinking about everyone in this community. Or perhaps, if you read it closely, all communities. How do I make the choice that is right in my life to do something that will affect every other person in community? These verses long for us to look at the community around you and follow these things, not just for our well-being, but the well-being of those around us. An example. Have I not written for you 30 sayings of admonition and knowledge to show you what is right and true, so that you may give a true answer to those who sent you? Do not rob the poor because they are poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord pleads their cause and despoils of life those who despoil them. We are held accountable by God of who we do wrong in community by not taking account of what they need when I'm deciding what I'm going to do. And when we lead, it is important to understand the community that we are in. We must understand the things that they need, the things that they believe, the things that they may believe erroneously. And our actions must follow God. The wisdom here is about being in community and making good choices for all. But then comes that always philosophical question, one that perhaps many of you have thought of this coming year as you came in to hear about being a good man and a good citizen. What is good? How does one define what is good? If you read these verses carefully, what you hear is not, do not do this, do not do that, and then you'll be good. It does not say, do not do this or do not do that so that you can be wealthy. What is good is building up the entire community. Not doing what is best for us to be built up, but what is best for everyone to be built up. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches and favor is better than gold or silver. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Do not seek wealth, seek a great name. How does one get a great name? One gets a great name by one's acts to lift up the community. This is what we learn. Individualistic we are, we have been, and continue to be. But God calls us to be in community with each other and with God. Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of anger will fail. Those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. If we are not just our acts, just meaning it just in our acts, and then again, what is just? According to the Oxford Dictionary, being just is we are not based on or behaving according to what is morally right and fair. If we are not looking at everyone around us and making our decisions with them in light, we are not behaving morally correctly. God says that we are in community, and therefore every decision we make has to include the community. Do not rob the poor because they are poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord pleads their cause and despoils the life of those who despoil him. If we use our funds and energies to get our lives better by taking away from other people's lives, the Lord has promised to be the one who deals with us personally. We are to seek the good for the entire community, not just for ourselves. You're not going to see that on a commercial today as you watch football. You're not going to see that in the newspaper tomorrow morning. As a matter of fact, you're not going to see it anywhere except in the quiet places, the places where people in need go. The decisions that you have to make to help those people when you be there with them. This is something that is almost secret at Hampden-Sydney College, this communal life. If we could bottle it somehow, if we could somehow, we would have 1,000 people trying to get in here every week. Every year we wouldn't have to see who could we recruit to come here. We would have to turn them away. But something has happened here for the last 250 years. Hampden-Sydney College has sent leaders all over this country. Not people who became generals necessarily. Not people who became president necessarily. But people who live lives taking into account the community around them every single day. They have lived lives leading others in the way of this passage from Proverbs says it should be. They're not famous. They're often left out of any big news flashes that are going on. But they have enriched the lives of so many others. They have led all of these things. And it is interesting that our leadership program that many of you in here as students today participate in is aptly named for a former president who spent his life to make others safer and wiser. And you know it as the Wilson Center. But it is the Wilson Center for leadership in the public interest. That is for the interest of our whole entire community, not for one person. One of the enduring things about this college is how many graduates have gone to teach at schools churches and businesses. They have been doctors and medical facility administrators. They are scout troop leaders and sit on city and county school boards. They are people who work for the good of others. It may be their job, but they teach school when they could be making millions of dollars, because it's how they make the community better. They are in little towns, big cities, all over the place. And they do what they do because they learned here how to lead. To lead by giving of yourself, not to get for yourself. And no matter what small town or large city they dwell in, they're passing along the tradition of leadership. Not for their own pocketbook, not for their egos, not for fame. They are doing it because it is the right thing to do. Perhaps some of you met one of those in your hometown. Perhaps that person changed your life. Perhaps you didn't even know that he went to Hampton, Sydney until after you got here. And following that path, this path of doing what others need, not necessarily for their own good, they have changed lives, not just in this time, but for many years as it has passed from generation to generation to generation. This is how the world gets changed. Today I challenge you as students, as professors, as executives, as whatever it is that you do, and anyone that is here, and yes, I am including myself in that, that we all, like those who have gone before us, will follow our God's guidance and listen constantly for how we can be leaders that always seek to do God's will, which is obviously the best thing for any community. I give thanks to God for watching over us and helping us to get along the little bit that we do. Thanks be to God. Amen.